This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Pop quiz. Which age group do you think has the fastest growing student debt? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Nearly 9 million Americans age 50 and up still have student debt, either from loans they took out to pay for their own education or for their kids. That is according to new data out this month from the Department of Education. And the total amount of debt they owe is growing faster than for any other age group, Marketplace Samantha Fields reports.
Most of the conversation about student debt tends to center on younger people.
People in their 20s, maybe in their 30s.
Betsy Mayotte is president of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors. About 20% of those who still owe student loans are 50 or older.
And the fastest growing population of U.S. citizens carrying student loan debt are the over 65s.
One reason is that more people are going to college and graduate school, says Angie Chen, an economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College.
And then there's also been an increase in parents taking on either co-signing or getting a Parent PLUS loan for their kids.
People over 50 who are still carrying student debt also tend to struggle more than younger borrowers to pay it back, Mayotte says.
We talk a lot about how, you know, it delays buying homes, it delays some people from getting married or having children.
But she says for older people who are still paying student loans, it can make it a lot harder to save for retirement or to retire at all. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The Dow just had its worst week since October. And that was after the Federal Reserve offered some mixed messages on the economy and its plans to manage it. On the one hand, the Fed said it would be patient before making any moves to control inflation. But on the other, it signaled that it may eventually raise rates a bit sooner and more frequently than a lot of people were expecting. Julia Coronado with Macro Policy Perspectives says markets have swung around in response.
A lot of what we call the reflation trades, so higher bond yields, higher inflation compensation, higher commodities prices, all of those things sort of reversed after the Fed's message. So we saw a lot of deflationary messages on the Fed's hawkishness. Hawkish meaning higher rates. But there's an open debate about whether they are in fact less patient or they were just trying to kind of have their cake and eat it too. Give us patience in the near term, but let us know that they'll do what's needed if inflation does in fact show up on a more persistent basis.
Chairman Powell is testifying before Congress tomorrow. Do you think he needs to clarify anything?
I think he's dealing with a committee that's divided in its views. And so when he testifies before Congress, he has to represent that committee as best he can. So we might get more of that same mixed message, patience for now, but willingness to turn hawkish later on.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, let's look at the numbers this morning. The Dow is up 259 points. That is 0.8%. The S&P 500 is up 0.7%. The NASDAQ is up just under 0.1%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is also moving up this morning. It's at 1.478%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before.
More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Chinese citizens are still processing the change in birth policy announced last month that'll allow couples to have 3 children instead of the current maximum of 2. The online discussion of the policy is censored, but as our China correspondent Jennifer Peck reports from Shanghai, Chinese citizens have turned to humor to get their point across.
There's a video on the social media platform WeChat Channels. User Student Li's husband is excited about the government's new third child policy.
Darling, we only have 1 child so far. Let's have a second.
Wife responds, a second child? Let me do the math for you.
Kindergarten is $230 a month, food just under $50, extracurricular classes $78, daily items, toys, and clothes another $155. That leaves you with just $78 to pay for the mortgage, car loan, and support me and our parents. A second or third child, you still can't afford them even if you work 24/7.
And it's not just costs, but also structural problems in education and healthcare, according to financial commentator Ye Tan on her WeChat live stream.
In Shanghai, there are limited elementary schools. There aren't enough teachers in China. The number of nurses per capita here is low.
And then there's elderly and child care, which in China mainly falls on the family, as explained by this little girl on the Mama New WeChat channel.
Now you provide for 4 grandparents and you want 3 children? You'll be looking after 9 grandchildren before you're eligible for your pension.
Other moms resent the government intrusion on their bodies, which stretches back to the late 1970s when China had a one-child policy. It was enforced with fines, forced abortions, and sometimes more, according to a model from Qingdao on her Chinese TikTok channel.
My mom had a second child because she wanted a son. As a civil servant, she isn't allowed to exceed the birth limit of 1, so she lost her job.
Today, women complain they are still being penalized at the workplace for being moms. The pressure on women is too much, according to a sketch on WeChat channel Dabao's Daily Nerves.
My desire to survive is low, let alone reproduce. Do you know what is the only thing we can do for our unborn child? Is not to have one.
And couples not having enough children to replace the population makes some here wonder why China has birth restrictions at all. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
A lot can happen in an economy in a day. You can catch up with Kai Ryssdal, host of Marketplace, afternoons and evenings on public radio, or whenever you want at marketplace.org. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.